efficacy rates in phase 3 trials as high as 95%. Possible availability in the coming weeks, the promise of a coronavirus vaccine is quickly becoming a reality. But having a vaccine isn't enough. People have to take it. And recent studies find skepticism, especially from people of color. That skepticism worries Reverend Liz Walker, the pastor of Roxbury Presbyterian Church. So she went straight to the top authority to make the case for the vaccine. Last night, she hosted Dr. Anthony Fauci for her congregation.
I totally understand what you've been through, and I plead with you that we as a community, your community, the community that we all live in, can do something about this if we abide by the public health measures and get vaccinated. Don't deprive yourself of the advantage of an extraordinarily important advance in science by not getting vaccinated. Protect yourselves, your family, and your community.
Dr. Fauci is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and serves on the White House's Coronavirus Task Force. Reverend Liz Walker herself serves on Governor Baker's COVID-19 Vaccine Advisory Group and is a former news anchor on WBZ-TV. She is with us now. Reverend Walker, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tiziana. It's good to be here with you.
Why did you become an active proponent for the coronavirus vaccine?
You know, it just, it's concerning to me how many people in the community that I serve are getting sick. I mean, that's a reality. And so with the disproportionate amount of illness and death in our community, we've got to do something. I have had my own kind of skepticism. I think a lot of people have about vaccines and Operation Warp Speed and all that we've been hearing. So I wanted to learn as much as I could so that I could pass on to the community that I serve immediately in my congregation, in our trauma program, the Corey Johnson Trauma Program, and beyond, to just spread the information that I'm learning and hopefully inspire other people to get as much information as they can get.
So 2,000 people registered for your event last night. That is a big number. Did that surprise you?
I was a little overwhelmed. I was glad. Of course, that's open to people all over the country and, you know, people who get our newsletters, people who have heard it word of mouth. So we can't tell you exactly who those people were. But I think it speaks to how much concern there is about this issue. And people want to hear, you know, the truth, and they want to hear from Dr. Fauci. So I think it was a little bit of all of that. And I was really satisfied, really glad that so many people registered and turned out.
So last night before Dr. Fauci started talking, you did this live poll where you asked attendees if they would take the vaccine, and about 35% said no. That's actually a lower level of skepticism than, for example, there was a September study reported in yesterday's Washington Post, which saw fewer than 50% of Black survey respondents willing to take the vaccine. It was 66% of Latinx people surveyed. But, you know, 35 out of every 100 congregants is still a fairly big number. Are you concerned about our ability to get to herd immunity with this kind of reticence?
From what I've learned about herd immunity, I am concerned. I don't know, because we don't know the exact demographics of that poll. You know, if it reaches all our congregants or our congregants and more, who was there? But I think that that's a scary number, no matter what, because we've got to have, from what I understand, the more people who get the vaccine, you know, the better we are as a country. So, and the safer it is for everybody. So we've got to get, you know, more people on board. And I'm not clear that 33%, it really covers my community. From what I've done anecdotally in speaking to people, far greater number, I'd say, are hesitant to take this vaccine. Now, that may be changing now that information is coming out, that these companies are, you know, saying they actually have this incredible efficacy. So we'll have to wait and see.
I do think that's worth noting. You know, a lot of the polls that I've looked at over the last week or so, they're from September. They're from a time before these efficacy numbers in these last few weeks are coming out. I want to acknowledge Dr. Fauci said last night that Black skepticism of the medical establishment, which can be behind this skepticism of the vaccine, is rooted in real history. Here he is.
Is it a broad generic reason, a distrust of the medical establishment because of the history of the abuse, particularly of the African-American community, with things that date back as far as Tuskegee and Henrietta Lacks issues? Or is it something about the process of the speed with which this vaccine was developed and somewhat of the mixed signals that one has been getting in this divisive society?
So Tuskegee referring, for example, to a syphilis experiment that was done on Black Americans for decades by the government in secret. What are you hearing? You said you think that number is even bigger than like the 33% number you got from this survey last night. What are you hearing from your congregation about why they might not take the vaccine?
Well, you know, I think it is absolutely what Dr. Fauci said. I think the history that is becoming, you know, available, more of us know the history now, but these were stories that were passed down in Black, you know, families forever and ever and ever. But I also think it's the everyday experience that Black people, that many Black people, at least the ones that I've talked to, themselves have had, who feel disrespected when they go to healthcare facilities, who feel unheard, who feel that they're not taken seriously. That's a very real thing. There's research to back that up, particularly around Black women. So I think it's a mixture of all of that. I also think it's a social issues of justice and the deaths of unarmed Black men. I think you have to, you know, it's a cumulative effect of feeling traumatized in a country that doesn't hear you, that doesn't treat you fairly. So those are the things that I hear from people that I talk to in my congregation. And I understand that that's going to be, that's decades and decades of distrust. And it's going to take a real effort and some time to turn that around. Do we have enough time with the urgency of this pandemic and the urgency of getting this vaccine out? That's the big question. And that's why so many people, and I'm not the only one, I appreciate, you know, the publicity that's around this event with Dr. Fauci. There are many people in my community who are concerned and working hard, doctors of color, social workers of color, people who are in the community who are trying to make sure that people get the right information, the truth, so that people can arm themselves and be safe.
You know, you said you appreciate the publicity, but it's not just you. I mean, it is remarkable. You are the pastor of an important but local Boston congregation, and Anthony Fauci took the time to address your community because he is so serious about making sure that there is uptake on this vaccine. That, I think, in and of itself, does that feel to you like that's really underscoring the importance of us getting over this hump?
Absolutely. I was stunned. When we even came up with the idea, and I can't quite remember, but something said, call Dr. Fauci, but it wasn't, it wasn't done thinking that Anthony Fauci was going to answer my call, but it was my concern, you know, and my willingness to take the risk. But when he responded, his office responded the next day, but last wow. night he said something that just stayed with me right at the beginning of our conversation, I think it was, or maybe two or three questions in. He felt that it was his purpose. He was asked, how are you coping? And he says, the reason that I'm coping, or the reason I'm continuing to do what I'm doing, is because this is what my purpose is. This is what my, kind of like he didn't say these words, but my call, this is what I've been put on earth to do. And I think he's a man on a mission. So, and he only could stay with us for 30 minutes because he had a whole list of Zoom calls. So I think he's doing, and it's really remarkable to think about that. He's 79 years old. And I'm not saying that that's anything, you know, the older you get, the less that seems old, he doesn't care. He's going to do this. He's going to remain on his mission to get the word out. So I think he's a man who is obsessed with this mission. And I have a lot more respect for him because he didn't know me. He didn't know, you know, we have a small church. It wasn't anything like, you know, I had some contact. He's just on a mission.
You know, we have, well, let me backtrack and just tell listeners, we're talking to Reverend Liz Walker, the pastor of Roxbury Presbyterian Church, who invited and was surprised to get an acceptance from Dr. Anthony Fauci to address the community last night about the vaccine. We have been talking, Reverend Walker, about reticence in communities of color to take the vaccine. But that number is, you know, the reticence exists across the country. Again, these are September polls. But then there was one that Gallup released on Tuesday that showed that 58% of adults who were surveyed were willing to be vaccinated. That was up from 50% in September, but it's still, you know, that's 58%. It's still a low number. What are the other hurdles that we have to cross in order to get people to take it?
Well, you know, we politicized everything these days. You talk about shock. The idea that a mask could be politicized like it has been is just amazing to me. I can't wait for history to kind of put its mark on what's been going on here, because I think it's more than any one person. But I think that whole polarized atmosphere that we have in this country is so dangerous on so many levels. People don't get enough information. They get a lot of disinformation. And so, you know, this is all kind of, it's like the perfect storm of everything wrong, you know, that everything that could go wrong has gone wrong as far as trying to move us forward as human beings, really. So all of that, I think, is what's kind of affecting this this situation we're in right now. And I'm very concerned. I don't know what it's gonna take to break this kind of impasse where I was just at this point of who, you know, I don't know. I must sound hysterical, but I think sometimes I get very frustrated because it's a scary time. You have people not trusting for this reason. You have people not trusting for that reason. Nobody wants to talk to anybody. Nobody believes anybody. Nobody trusts anybody. We're at a critical point in history. I'm very concerned.
I want to come back for a minute to communities of color. Back in September, presidents of two historically black colleges volunteered as test subjects for an experimental vaccine for the virus. According to the Washington Post, they did receive some backlash from members of the black community who didn't trust the trials. Some more sound here from Dr. Fauci last night, who pushed back that it's essential for people of color to get involved in early stages here.
We want to be able to say in the actual trial that proves that a vaccine is safe and effective, we can look our African-American and our Latinx colleagues in the eye and say, you know what? We've proven that it is not only safe and effective in whites, it's safe and effective in you and your community.
Vaccine development has been faster, and we have heard this time around, Reverend Walker, this open conversation about making sure that trials include people of color, include the broad range of people who will be taking the vaccine to be sure of its efficacy and to build that trust. Will that be how we do things going forward?
I hope so. I hope that voices will rise up more and more from the community. I think those two presidents of historically black colleges that, you know, stepped out there and took the risk and took some backlash and took some abuse were courageous. I think it's going to take that kind of courage to help save us. Some people aren't taking this vaccine, you know, the disease seriously, even now. And that to me is the most baffling of all the things that keep me up at night, is that people would still not believe that this is a deadly and really debilitating disease. So we need more voices. We need more people to step up and be heard. And I think that slowly that's what will change things. It's not going to take just the rock stars. Dr. Fauci is a rock star. It's going to take your pastor. It's going to take your teachers. It's going to take your social workers. I mean, the people in the community. And I think that's beginning to happen. I know it's happening in Boston. There are a great many community leaders who are stepping up to try to, you know, help our community get the facts and then respond.
That's Reverend Liz Walker, formerly a news anchor for WBZ-TV and now the pastor of Roxbury Presbyterian Church. She's also on Governor Baker's COVID-19 vaccine advisory group. Thanks for joining us today. Happy Thanksgiving to you.